Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time has just gone 7:45, and I'm not sure why we aren't speaking to Rolene Marks yet. All right, morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Well, let me tell you, if kindness is a religion, then sign me up.
Yes. Don't be an a-hole. There's a good religion to follow. Rolene Marks, how's it going with you?
I tell you, we are running every kind of emotion you could possibly imagine here in Israel, from the ecstatic to the frustrated to the banging the head against the wall to the wondering if there will be ice cream on the 23rd of March. So, yeah, lots of news happening. So should we get right into it?
Yes. What do you mean, will there be ice cream? What's ice cream got to do with anything?
There has to be an upside to everything. You know, in Hebrew, the way to say like third time lucky is we say, Pam shlishit glida, you know, for the third time ice cream. In this case, it's for the fourth time ice cream. And, you know, Israel, we love our democracy. We love it so much. We're doing it for the fourth time in 2 years. As of midnight last night, the Knesset officially dissolved, and we now begin the path to our fourth set of elections, which are likely to be held on the 23rd of March next year, unless there is a vote in the Knesset changing that. But this is where we are headed to at the moment. So a lot of frustration by Israelis, a lot of finger pointing and accusations of, come on, guys, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Can't you just get it together? But hey, we're a nation of how many different ethnicities? 82. We're represented in the government. There's definitely never going to be agreements for most of the time. But yeah, it is official. We will be heading to the polls early next year.
Okay. And how much is this costing Israel, Rolene?
I don't even want to contemplate. This we don't have yet. What we do know is that one of the causes for this is that there was no agreement on the approval to extend the deadline of a budget. The frustration was there wasn't an agreement on a budget in the first place. And Israel, we desperately need these budgets to be approved, and especially in the middle of a pandemic, budgets that go towards education ministry, social welfare, which is really one of those ministries really, really impacted by the coronavirus because of the impact that it's had on our citizens, defense budgets, various other budgets. And the failure to pass a budget has come 7 months after the swearing in of this unity or coalition government that was kind of cobbled together to try and deal with the pandemic, to try and steer us through this quite unprecedented time in everybody's history, not just our history. But if you do know the laws in Israel, if you cannot pass a budget, the Knesset, the parliament, will automatically dissolve and the country will go to elections. And another big issue was the issue of a rotation or a rotating premiership. As part of the agreement, it was agreed that the prime minister would sit for a certain amount of months, or at least up until November 2021, until such time Benny Gantz, the alternate prime minister, also our current defense minister, he would take over. That was a part of the agreement. And a lot of speculation that Prime Minister Netanyahu did everything he can to not have to honor this rotation agreement. Even Benny Gantz admitting a couple of weeks ago that, you know, deep down he knew that when it comes to Prime Minister Netanyahu, this clause in the deal is not going to be honored. And of course, a lot of anger at Benny Gantz from his constituents, who said that they voted for an alternative to Prime Minister Netanyahu. And by joining a coalition with the Prime Minister, he kind of gave their votes, which was for blue and white, to the Likud. So very, very complicated. And of course, we've had the blue and white break away from Yesh Atid, and we have Yesh Atid's leader, Yair Lapid, with the accusations at Benjamin Netanyahu, saying that you know, don't say that you're interested in vaccines and getting us through this crisis because you haven't fulfilled the terms of any agreement. And as we say in Hebrew, big balagan or balagan gadol, and off to elections yet again.
Exhausting. Do you think that COVID will work for the elections or not? And by that I mean, do you think that people will base any of their voting, any of their votes based on, on what's happening domestically, or is it based on, you know, international policies? What did Israelis generally vote on? Is it on security? How much of the vote is governed by security?
That's a very good question. First of all, on security, most of the parties are pretty much on the same page. So in terms of security, that doesn't really factor into the voting process. Israelis vote with their back pockets. Israelis look at what's going to be the most beneficial for each of us financially. The last, I'd say, two elections, bearing in mind that, you know, they took place just a couple of months apart, a lot of it was voting Bibi out, trying to vote in anyone but Bibi. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is the longest serving prime minister in Israel's history, he's served for a total of 13 years, not consecutively though. He has proved to be the Teflon PM, political maneuver or strategist par excellence. And if you're going to come up against the PM, you better have your ducks, your flamingos, your swans, everything in a row, because he comes to play. And, it's going to be interesting to see how we move forward. Everybody is looking at Naftali Bennett from the New Right and now Gideon Sa'ar from the New Hope, a lot of new everything, guys, and looking to see how they will perform. If we were talking about, is Corona a factor? Maybe about 2 months ago, that would have pushed Naftali Bennett to nearly pipping Netanyahu at the polls. But now we have this incredible move by Gideon Sa'ar, somebody who is respected, somebody who political pundits have said would have been the most natural successor in the Likud to Prime Minister Netanyahu. And him taking a major step and leaving the Likud to form his own party and taking with him some MKs from various parties, he could prove to be the most formidable opponent that the Prime Minister has. And the current polls have it at Likud. If we had to go to the polls today, the Likud had a very, very, very small majority, but not enough to form a coalition. And it's the coalition building that becomes the big factor in who's going to be or who's going to form our next government. So definitely a complicated situation. We don't make things easy. You know, we don't have a two-party system or a three-party system. But, this is Israeli democracy at its best and at its worst.
100%. Okay. So, Rolene, can you just give us what are the updates? Are there any updates in terms of the murder of Esther what was her name? Holgan?
Yesterday, late Esther Holgan was laid to rest in a funeral that just wrenched all of our hearts to see her six children now without their mother. Her absolutely heartbroken husband. But what has happened since then is her husband, Benjamin, has said that he is being updated, you know, by the relevant security forces. He didn't give too much information, which is expected. These kind of investigations will be embargoed until such time it is decided, by the security establishment to release information to the media. But we have heard that they are making progress. We're still not clear what the exact motive was. It is most likely terror, but we don't have it confirmed. And since yesterday, the IDF has bolstered their presence of troops in and around the West Bank. There is a rising tension that is happening, and some of our troops who are due to be on weekend leave have had their weekend leave suspended, so that they can carry out their duties on the next couple of days in these areas, and to make sure that the roads, that there is a security presence in and around the roads that lead to these settlements.
Fascinating. All right, I'm sure that we will get any updates coming out of that story as they do. Raleen, let's talk about Morocco, all the deals signed.
Let's talk about Morocco.
And let's talk about who's next.
Well, who could be next? You know, we're all playing normalization bingo. So let's talk about Morocco. A very, very momentous occasion yesterday as LY555, or LY Khamsa, with its beautiful Khamsa on its head. I mean, is it, that's what you call it, the top of an aeroplane? Not quite the nose, but maybe the head. Who knows? It has a tail. So there we go. Landed in Rabat. It's actually quite a long flight. I thought it was shorter, but yeah, 5.5 hours from Tel Aviv to Rabat. It landed with a delegation from the United States that included Jared Kushner, delegations from Israel to sign very important agreements on water, on visas, on investments. That is a particularly yummy one for many Israeli businesses here, and aviation. So what we do know, what has been made public, is that within the next couple of months, and certainly by the end of next month, Morocco and Israel will establish full diplomatic ties. Very, very exciting. And by the end of this month, it is hoped that liaison offices will open in both countries. Now, these are expected to grow to full embassies, and I tell you why they're currently liaison offices. Israel and Morocco had very, very low-level ties, and just before the Second Intifada, Morocco closed its diplomatic mission, its liaison office in Tel Aviv. They still retain that property, and so it's just a matter of opening it up and staffing it again. And the same goes for Israel. We will open up or reopen our office in Rabat, which is a massive, massive step in the right direction. Also yesterday, there was a meeting with the King of Morocco. Morocco is a monarchy. The King of Morocco, very, very close to his Jewish community, and of course a major sign of respect, to pay tribute, to pay respects to the king, and also to put a wreath on the grave of the former king. Very, very important, especially in Arab culture. And yeah, so we've had these wonderful discussions, and Morocco and Israel now in full diplomatic ties. And today, very, very early in the morning, so that they made it home just before the quarantine deadline kicked into effect, the Israeli delegation departed back here, back to Tel Aviv. And a little later today, the U.S. delegation will depart back to D.C. But very, very, very happy day for Israel as well. And Jared Kushner saying to the Moroccans, you know, since normalization with the UAE, there have been about 50,000 Israelis who have visited, but they think that Morocco could give the UAE a run for its money.
I think so too.
I happen to agree with.
Yeah, and I think Jews from all around the world, actually.
But rumor has it, the next big fish in the pond, and it is a big fish, will be, drum roll please, Kathy.
Hold on, let me get my drum roll. No, you can't do this to me. You know, why don't you just give me a heads up, Raleen? I have to get this, just get all these people into that studio, right?
It was spontaneous.
Masks. Okay, here we go.
It was a spontaneous.
Here's your drum roll.
The rumor has it that the next one to possibly normalize could be Indonesia. A very, very important. Indonesia.
Okay, now we can get all those people out of the studio. Indonesia. Isn't Indonesia from what I'd read, my perception is that it's quite an anti-Semitic country.
Well, there's Indonesia and there's Malaysia. Malaysia has a former prime minister who's rabidly anti-Semitic, but okay. Indonesia has the most or the biggest Muslim population in the world. So this could be a massive, massive game changer. And the Trump administration is in major talks offering Indonesia billions in aid if they take the massive step and normalize ties with Israel.
So interesting. So interesting. Let's see what happens, Raylene.
Interesting times ahead, Kath.
Yeah, and interesting.
Keep that drum roll.
We'll have to talk about interesting questions tomorrow when we speak to you, but we'll catch your report this afternoon with Chad at 5:20.
Later, guys.
Thank you
speak
so much.
To you tomorrow.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.